Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast, which is my Sunday sermon for Brother Eric John Phelps on this March the 2nd, 2025. The topic of the message is the Hebrews who are Jews who are Israelites with the everlasting land promise of the Abrahamic covenant, which is active and in full force and effect of today. So again, the title of the message is going to be The Hebrew Jewish Israelites, Their Past, Present, and Future, in an hour. So we shall begin with our first phase of the Hebrew Jewish Israelites. Presently, there is all kinds of anti-Jewish fury. Some people call it anti-Semitism. I don't. Semites includes the Arabs and others. So it's really anti-Jew, anti-Hebrew, anti-Israelite fury today, which is nothing new. And it's growing in leaps and bounds here in Bible-rejecting America, apostate America, white apostate America. So that the vacuum that's being filled is by all these Jew baiters, like Stu Webb and a host of others, trying to seduce you into anti-Jewish fury and blaming the Jews for what in fact is being done by the Jesuit order, the Society of Jesus, which is the most powerful secret society in the world, using some 800 secret societies, one of them being B'nai B'rith, which is a Jewish Masonic secret society, of which Benjamin Netanyahu is a member. Benjamin Nitwit Yahu working for the Pope. My point being is all these Jews in peace places of power and influence are working for the Pope. The Rothschilds, etc. The Rothschilds are nothing compared to the huge, massive, 10 giga-quadrillionaire Italian Roman Catholic families, like the Aldobrandinis, like the Pallavicinis, like the Orsinis, and on. These are Gentiles. These Gentiles working for the chief Gentile dictator of the world, the Pope of Rome, rule the world, not the Jews. And I will prove it to you with Scripture, believing, of course, that the final authority of faith and practice for those of us who are Bible-believing, born-again, Christian, Protestant, Baptist, Calvinist men are the Scriptures, and the Scriptures are the Scriptures that were given to us out of the Protestant Reformation. And so the English Scriptures would be either the Geneva Bible or the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible in its present edition of 1769. That's our Bible. No other Bibles. All the other Bibles are heresy, based upon Westcott and Hort Greek, heretical Greek text, and Biblical Hebraic, heretical Hebrew text. And I mean, the Jesuits have supplanted the underlying texts of the Bibles with heretical texts. And our text we hold to is Ben Chaim, Hebrew text of 1524. Ben Chaim was a great Hebrew scholar, became a saved man, became a friend of Martin Luther, and also the Textus Receptus of Erasmus, later perfected with the Beza's text of 1598, the foundational New Testament Greek text for our English Bible. So anybody that wants to go to the English Bible and make any clarifications better be using the underlying text that it was taken from. Otherwise, they are seducers and heretics, which is the vast majority of Protestant and Baptist Christianity today in America. So in light of that, we understand why the fury of anti-Jewish fanaticism is growing in leaps and bounds, because the Lord's people have departed from His word. Just that simple. And full of sin and compromise. So I'm trying to remedy some of that this morning by giving to you the biblical position of the Hebrew Jewish Israelites. All Hebrews are Jews, or all Hebrew Jews are Israelites, but not all Jews are Hebrews, because there are Gentiles that have converted to the Jews' religion, and they are not racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites, and they are not participators of the Abrahamic covenant, as we shall see. So going way back The father of the nation of Israel is Abraham. Abram will be called out of Ur of the Chaldees, ultimately to get to the land where the Lord brought him to. And then he promised him a certain portion of land called the Promised Land. The Christian has no promised land. The Hebrew Jewish Israelites have promised land, earthly promised land. And that Abram would, his name would change when the Abrahamic covenant was established in Genesis 15, further confirmed in Genesis 17, and promised a certain specific seed in Genesis 22, as referred to in Galatians chapter 3. And so this is the overriding geopolitical promise in the earth today, the Abrahamic covenant. And this involves the preservation of the Hebrews, who are Jews, who are Israelites, composing the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, and that these 12 tribes would continue to exist from the great diaspora, beginning with the Babylonian captivity, up to the present. They've been in diaspora for, 2,600 years thereabouts. The Jews have not ruled Jerusalem for 2,600 years. And that also includes the days of Judas Maccabeus, when he became a governor. But he became governor under the auspices of a Greek empire. And then he makes a deal, has a treaty with Rome. And so Rome will take Jerusalem, and Rome will hold Jerusalem during the days of Christ and then onward. And then finally, Jerusalem will be taken by the Byzantines, the Eastern Roman Empire, and then Jerusalem will be taken by the Muslims, the Sunni Muslims, with Omar. And Jerusalem would be in the hands of the Muslims for many years. They would lose it a little bit. They'd take it back with Salah ad-Din in the 1100s, and then they would lose it to the British in 1917. But all this time, during all these centuries, two and a half millennia, I should say, Jerusalem has been trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Jerusalem has not been ruled by Jews for 2,600 years. So how in the world can any of you say the Jews rule the world? From where do they rule the world? What's their city that they rule the world from? Don't tell me Washington. The Jesuits run Washington through Georgetown. Don't tell me New York. Don't call it Jew York. The Jesuits run New York and all the big banks there from St. Patrick's Cathedral and the Archbishop of New York. Don't tell me the Jews rule the world through London. The Jesuits rule London. They've ruled London since 1760 with that wicked, sinful King George III that we had to fight a wonderful revolution against to break his power over us. So where are the Jews ruling the world from? Jerusalem? Are you kidding? Jerusalem is absolutely in the hands of the papacy. In fact, the Temple Mount was deeded to the papacy in 1993, which is proven by my late friend Joel Bainerman and my other late Jewish friend Barry Shamish. Jerusalem's ruled by the Pope. Well, all the Osmanic Jewish labor Zionists, they run Jerusalem. Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu works for the Pope. That Freemason, that B'nai B'rith Freemason. Why do you think Netanyahu, according to a certain documentary on Netflix, I believe, about Bibi, he gave $30 million a month to Hamas through Qatar? That's Netanyahu. And furthermore, why did he wait for 7 hours while the Muslim savages, Hamas, were busy mass murdering and killing and raping and pillaging those 1,300 Jewish people in Israel that were having a rave party? Yeah, the rave party was sin, but they didn't need to be mass murdered. Why did Netanyahu do that? Why did he not immediately call out troops to kill those savages? Because he's part of the agitation. The Pope's Jews running Israel work with Hamas, and they work with all the other Muslim brotherhoods They work with the Muslim Brotherhood. That's right. They work with Yasser Arafat's Muslim group that he had. They all work together. We need to realize all these leaders work together under the direction of the Pope of Rome as he's advised and directed by the Jesuit Curia, the High Jesuit Council, overseen by the Black Pope. That's how the world runs today. And it concerns me that in my nation, my country of America, there are becoming more and more men of influence denouncing the Jew and blaming the Jews for running the world. It's the Jews that run Washington. Oh, really? Really? You think AIPAC runs Washington? Why would you think that? Because of the foreign aid that's given to Israel? What's $3 billion a year? They give triple that to Egypt and the other Muslim countries. And furthermore, there should be no foreign aid to any country at all, ever. If anybody needs aid, it's the American people that need aid. Not one dime should go to any foreign country, ever. But you see, this is the Pope's Holy Roman 14th Amendment, corporate, fascist, socialist, communist American empire, and that the Pope is building the world that he wants. And so he uses our blood and treasure to build his world, including the Pope's Federal Reserve Bank, to create credit to finance all these sinful things. Jews don't run anything. The Pope runs it all. Read my book, Vatican Assassins. It'll take some work. 1,836 pages. Get my DVD for what? My ebook for what? $35? Read it. I did all the footwork for you. All you got to do is read it, check out their citations, and realize it's true. The Jesuits rule the world. They are the key Vatican assassins. They run the mafia. They run Mossad. They run CIA. They run FSB, SVR. They run Pakistani ISI. They run British MI5, MI6. They run all. They run the German BND. They run the French intelligence. They run it all. They run it all. And they consolidated all this power primarily in World War II during the Second 30 Years' War, and they finished it off and perfected it during the Pope's Cold War. So, we need to review a little bit of history with the Jews, biblical history as well as true history, and come to the conclusion that the Jews do not run the world. Gentiles, non-racial Jews, run the world. And they are generally white. For the last, 2,000 years, it's been whites and Semites, Arabs, Arab Muslims, that have ruled Jerusalem. Gentiles rule Jerusalem. Have ruled Jerusalem since Nebuchadnezzar came in at 605, 606, captured Jerusalem, and reduced the king to his servitude. And that's when Israel ceased to be ruled by the kings of Israel, or Israel. Zedekiah was the last king. So, let's review a little history. Let's review a little scripture first. The first one I want to take you to is in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 36. We read in Jeremiah chapter 34, verse 9. This concerns Zedekiah when he was to release all the slaves in his days, the last king of Judah. In verse 8 we read of chapter 34, this is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. After that, the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them. Verse 9, that every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant, being an Hebrew, for an Hebrewess, go free. That none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew, his brother. This verse teaches us that a Hebrew is a Jew. It does not teach us that all Jews are Hebrews, but it teaches us that all Hebrews are Jews. Classic verse, remember it. And What I mean by Hebrews are Jews, I mean it's strictly racial. Has nothing to do with their religion. The Abrahamic covenant has nothing to do with the religion of the Jews. It is strictly a racial covenant for the physical descendants of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, through the 12 sons, the 12 tribes that are preserved to this very day. It's a racial promise, a racial covenant. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, concerning the Abrahamic covenant that is yet to come, it's not established here in chapter 12 yet, but it's a foretaste, it's a preview of that covenant that will be established. And so we see in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." This is a covenant that will yet be established. And that's the result of that covenant is that I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, looking forward, of course, to Christ, because out of Abraham will come the seed, the promised seed, of who will then be a blessing to all nations, because there's salvation going to the Gentiles right now, of every race, kindred, tongue, and people. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. So this is a preview, and it's a promise that if we bless the physical descendants of Abraham, as we later will find through Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes, the Lord will bless us. That's why for centuries the Lord blessed the Islamic caliphate, because it did not generally persecute the Jews. Jews were second-class citizens, Dahini, and they paid a Dahini tax. But the Jews were viciously persecuted in Catholic Europe. And as they were better off in Islamic Middle East under the leadership of the Caliph. Remember, when the King of Spain, when Ferdinand kicked the Jews out of Spain in 1492, the head of Islam, and what was it? The head of Islam there in Turkey, or Baghdad. He said, "The king of Spain hath lost his mind. He's expelled the most productive commercial class in his country." And that would later become the end of Spain, because the end of the Spanish Empire would begin to die when it was defeated with the Armada, when the Armada was sunk in 1588, and Elizabeth's kingdom of Great Britain would begin to be born and grow. Yeah. And England would not persecute the Jews, too. Cromwell would let them in 1655. Any nation that blesses the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites, the Lord will bless them. Period. End of story. Any nation that curses them, the Lord will curse them. Period. Why do you think Germany's still smarting under its Nazi regime? Why do you think the Russians are still smarting under communism? Because remember, communism helped Hitler. Stalin helped Hitler in the destruction of the Jews of Eastern Europe, known as the Pale of Settlement. Stalin and Hitler worked together. You read, get the book, Eliminate the Opiate by Rabbi Martin Antelman. And he tells you that Stalin killed 1 million Jews, if not more. Why not? He's busy working with Hitler. They work together, folks. But that's all right. Men propose and God disposes. Satan proposes and God disposes. And if he thinks that he can wipe out the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites, he's out of his mind. Anybody who thinks that. The devil is going to give it a try, a big try in the future 70th week of Daniel in the last half. But no weapon formed against these people, these racial people, can ever prosper against them. Isaiah tells us that. So we see here the beginning of the promise of the Abrahamic covenant. I'll bless thee, those who bless thee, I'll bless them. And those who curse thee, I'm going to curse them. Abrahamic covenant is not in force yet, but we'll see when it becomes enforced. just now. Genesis 15, verse 6. The Lord had made a promise to Abram. In verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So shall thy physical descendants be, Abram. Abraham's covenant is not in effect yet. The next verse, and he believed in the Lord and counted it to him for righteousness. Now Abram is saved. We know in Romans chapter 4, this verse is quoted several times, that Abraham was saved in a condition of uncircumcision. So now Abram is, he gets a promise in Genesis 12, he gets saved in Genesis 15, and in just chapter 15, the Lord gives him a land promise. And we read verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So all this land was now given to Abram as a covenant. This is the land covenant right here in Genesis 15. Still not the completion of the Abrahamic covenant. We have the promise in Genesis 12. We have the promise in Genesis 15. And it's a covenant here. And this is the land promise. This is why Gaza belongs to Israel. And that criminal, that traitor, Ariel Sharon, in 2005, gave Gaza to the Muslim savages, the Arab Muslim savages. And they did it on orders of the Pope. Ariel Sharon was a Masonic Jew serving the Pope of Rome to the detriment of his Hebrew, Jewish, Israelitish people. If there's anything I can communicate to you Jews that might be listening, know this. Your leaders are traitors. They're working for the Pope. And they couldn't care less about you. You're just cannon fodder for the purposes of the revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem. The most important thing to the Pope being the city of Jerusalem that he's going to ultimately rule the world from in a third Hebrew temple that's going to be built after this huge war that's going to go on in the Middle East, having begun with the Gaza incident. This is not ending. There's not going to be a deal here. There has to be a war in the region for the destruction of the Muslim edifices on the Temple Mount for the rebuilding, for the building of the third Hebrew temple. There's a certain author that says, no, they don't have to be destroyed. Not so. Just watch. Just watch as the war unfolds here. Just watch when the Dome of the Rock is blown up. Just watch that. And just watch when that adjacent mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, is blown up. Just watch that. And then just watch who's blamed for it. Because I maintain they're going to blame us Americans for that when it's going to be done inside the country by certain Masonic free Muslims and Masonic Jews going to blame us for it. So they'll incite all the fanatical Muslims of the world to hate and kill Americans wherever they find us. That's one of the things, and that's part of the destruction of white Protestant Western civilization. To bring Islam against us as a sword of the church to destroy us. That's right. You Muslims are busy serving the Pope. You Muslim leaders. You Masonic Muslim leaders. And you know it. So here is the covenant, the land covenant here in Genesis 15. You Muslims claim to be people of the book. You claim to respect us people of the book. Well, then why don't you respect the covenant given here to Abram that he has a land promise from the Euphrates River to the river in Egypt. It's not the Nile River. It's another river. I've taught this before. Now we're going to go to the next passage where we have the Lord giving this Abrahamic covenant, finalizing it. In Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Be thou mature. Be thou complete. He's not asking Abram to have sinless perfection. Okay. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. So he's going to make the finalization of the Abrahamic covenant here. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations out of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed, physical descendants, after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant. This Abrahamic covenant with his seed through Isaac and Jacob is everlasting. It has never ceased to exist. And there are certain heretics that want to tell you that the Abrahamic covenant is not in existence anymore. Heretic. Denier of Genesis 17. For an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. The same land promise of Genesis 15. And all the land of Canaan. All the land of Canaan. The Romans call it Palestine. Present day people call it the Samaria and Gaza. That's all the land of Canaan that belongs to the racial descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. It's their land. And by the way, the Abrahamic covenant is never nullified due to the sin of the people. They violated the Mosaic covenant, and for violation of that, they're moved off the land. But never, ever, never has the land promised to the Abraham through Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes, has that ever been repealed or done away with. It's still in full force and effect. It is still their land. All the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Yeah, it's going to happen one of these days. It's going to happen in the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child born among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, betwixt me and you. So, this is the Abrahamic covenant, the sign of circumcision. That every Hebrew Jewish Israelitish male that opens the womb is going to be circumcised on the eighth day after he's born. That's exactly what was done to Jesus Christ. So, this is the Abrahamic covenant. Now, there's one more little glorious piece to this, and that is concerning the singular seed that would come as a result of this Abrahamic covenant. We read in Genesis 22, verse 15, it follows. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Son of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ had spoken to Abraham, long before he became flesh. The Son of God spoke to him, and when he became flesh and dwelt among us, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ could verily well say that he knew Abraham, which he would say in John chapter 8. He knew him. He knew him as the pre-incarnate Son of God. That's why those Jewish leaders, you're not yet 50 years of age and you've seen Abraham? Before Abraham was, I am. I'm the angel of the Lord that spoke to him and gave him the Abrahamic covenant in the first place, for which reason they pick up rocks and wanted to stone him. It's because he attributed deity to himself. For all you deny the deity of Christ, deal with it in John chapter 8. Why did they want to stone him? For blasphemy, because he made himself God. So we read here, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, that means we're going to offer up Isaac, and has not withheld thy son, thine only son. See, it's a perfect type of God giving his son, Abraham giving Isaac. It's a wonderful type. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. This is Jewish supremacy, Hebrew racial Israelitish supremacy over the Gentile nations one day, which will happen in the millennial kingdom of Christ, of Messiah, when he returns. And then in verse 18, and in thy seed, thy singular seed, thy specific seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And where is that quoted? It's quoted in the book of Galatians, this particular verse. In Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, as of many. He's not talking about all his physical seed through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through 12 tribes. He's not talking about all of the seeds. He says here, and to seeds, he says, he saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one seed, and to thy seed, thy one seed, which is Christ. The Lord promises Christ in Genesis 22, the specific seed of Abraham that would come. And because of this seed, all the nations of the world would be blessed, as was foretold in Genesis 12. So the Abrahamic covenant concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. It concerns the land that was promised to the seed of Abraham, which includes the Lord Jesus Christ. You realize the land promised to Abraham belongs to Jesus Christ? It's his land. And that land was given to the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites for their enjoyment. What do you think he thinks as he's sitting at the right hand of the Father while all these peepsqueaks are busy trying to deprive his beloved Hebrew Jewish Israelites people under the Abrahamic covenant of their land? What do you think he thinks about that? Who's this punk giving Gaza away to the Muslims and the Arabs? Who is this? Ariel Sharon? Who are these savage Muslims coming in and attacking my racial Hebrew Jewish Israelitish people, killing them for 7 hours and killing 1,300 of them? Who are these people seeking to deprive my people of their land of Gaza? Huh? What do you think he thinks about that? He's remaining silent. He's preserving his people. He will fulfill the Abrahamic covenant one day, very literally. Right now, he's saving his elect out of Jews and Gentiles, out of every race, kindred, tongue, and people. But because of the Abrahamic covenant, we see that the nation of Israel is engraved on his hands. And that's exactly what Isaiah says. How can I forget you? You're engraved on my hands. Yeah, through the nail prints on my hands. I went to the cross primarily for the nation of Israel, for the love of the treasure, which is the nation of Israel. He went and purchased the field, which is the world. We Gentiles have nothing to boast. Had not Christ loved his elect nation of Israel first, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. That's why I said to the Syrophoenician woman, it's not good to give the children's bread to the pet dogs, the little dogs. I'm sent only to the house of the lost sheep of Israel. He came unto his own. He was born king of the Jews. Where is he that's born king of the Jews when those magi came from Persia and they saw a star in the east? Where is he that's born king of the Jews? Because we've come to worship him. Because he's God manifest in the flesh. This is the Abrahamic covenant. And because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is an established fact and done deal that he will ultimately restore that covenant and bring it to pass with his racial Hebrew Jewish Israelitish people. If he wasn't resurrected from the dead, the Abrahamic covenant could never be fulfilled. Because he's the one that's going to do it. And by the way, he, as a member of the tribe of Judah, most assuredly will do it because he has the right to the portion of the land that was given to Judah. So, now I want to deal with this heresy that is going around everywhere, saying that the Jews living in Israel are so-called Jews. So-called Jews. I had a brother in Christ, and he started mouthing that. And I said, okay, well, if you don't believe there are racial Jews living in Israel, who are they? Well, they're fake Jews. You want to believe that? I'm done having fellowship with you. I'm done talking to you. I'm done having anything to do with you, because those racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites that live in that land, some 80% of the people living in Israel are racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites. They're not fake Jews. Why, they came out of Poland. Netanyahu comes down. Golda Meir came out of Poland. She was a racial Jew. How do you think they got in Poland? They got in Poland through the Assyrian captivity of 722 when the 10 tribes went north. Then they ultimately would composing in the 8th century, 9th century, Khazaria. They would live in Khazaria. All Jews are not Khazarians. Khazaria was a white nation. Jews lived in their midst, and there were some blacks that lived in Khazaria. You read Kevin Allen Brook's work, The Jews of Khazaria. Read it. Kevin Allen Brook, The Jews of Khazaria. And he erroneously comes to the conclusion that there are no more racial Jews in the world, that they've all been race mixed and miscegenated, and Khazaria was the last bit of them. They're all Khazars. That's nonsense. And we see today this Khazarian mafia. There's no such thing as a Khazarian mafia. Where do you get the facts for that, my friend? All mafias are run by the papacy. And the primary archbishop overseeing the mafias is the Archbishop of Palermo. Out of Sicily. Russian mafia, Japanese mafia, Yakuza, the Chinese mafia, all of them are subject to the Roman papacy because they reorganized their nations after World War II and took control of the mafias, took control of organized crime, and meanwhile spread a whole lot of sin, spread a whole lot of crime that would increase the power of organized crime. No such thing as Khazarian mafia. The Jews are not Khazars. They're racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites. Some are olive-skinned, some are lighter-skinned. Why? Because the lighter-skinned Jews are descendants of Joseph through Ephraim and Manasseh. And Joseph was given a white wife by Pharaoh. Egypt was not black. Anybody who believes that doesn't know true history and is a racist hating white people. Egypt was not black. Egypt was white and somewhat Shemitic. The last Egyptian Pharaoh was Greek, Cleopatra, white. They found mummies in Egypt. They have long black hair. There's no kinky hair. There's no nappy hair. They're not black Africans. Now, the Africans took Egypt in the 25th dynasty, but it's generally always been white. So Joseph was given a white wife by the white Pharaoh, and his offspring were lighter-skinned Jews, Ephraim and Manasseh, and these lighter-skinned Jews are the majority of Jews today. You call them Ashkenazis. Ashkenazis are racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites, primarily of the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, that went north in the Assyrian captivity in 722, and they never returned. They never came back after their captivity. Whereas when Judah went into captivity with Babylon, they ultimately came back under Ezra and Zerubbabel and built the second temple and ultimately built a city under Nehemiah. So they came back, but the 10 tribes in the north never came back. The 2 tribes in the south did. But they were not destroyed. They've been maintained. They continue to exist. So, these Jews, there are no such things as the Khazarian Jews. Prove it to me. Kevin Allen Brooks, a liar, in his book, The Jews of Khazaria. And the other liar is Kessler, Arthur Kessler, in his work, The 13th Tribe. There's another liar, and he also worked for British intelligence. And he wants to tell you that the racial Jews have ceased to exist. Yeah, he wishes. So all your major academics are telling you these lies. And it's all absolutely non-historical, and it's also contradictory to the Word of God. Now, there are Jews, the racial Jews, as I've taught you. There are Jews, all Hebrews are Jews, and these are Israelites, but not all Jews are Hebrews. Let's take a look at a couple passages of Scripture. Right before Christ is ready to begin his trek to the cross, we see some Gentiles seek to visit him who had adopted the Jews' religion, as referred to in Galatians chapter 1. Verse 20, And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Why are they worshiping? Because they have adopted the Jews' religion. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip would tell Jesus. What did Christ do? What did the king of the Jews do? What did this member of the tribe of Judah do? What did the ones say that we know whom we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. What did this king of the Jews say? Who believes in Israel, Jewish, Hebrew, Israelitish supremacy and Gentile subordination? That's what he believed in. Jesus Christ did not believe in universal equality of all peoples. No, he never did. I'll give you another verse for that after we finish this one. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. No, I'm not going to see him. The hour has come now where I'm going to be glorified, and I'm not going to be talking to him. Now, he could have said, well, the hour has come, but I'll just, take a minute or two to talk to these Jews that want to see me. No, these racial Gentiles that adopt the Jews' religion are second class, and he didn't come for them. He came for his racial, Hebrew, Jewish, Israelitish people, ones given the promise of the Abrahamic covenant. Which leads me to another trail, and that's there's no such thing as a black Jew. There's no such thing as an African Jew. They don't exist. That includes Sammy Davis Jr., that pimp for the Pope, who, when he would arrive in Reno, was immediately assigned two whores by the mafia, one white and one black, as the chief of police told my father when my father used to teach criminology there. Just another chump for the Pope, Knight of Malta. Claiming he's a Jew, give me a break. Or all these Jews in Ethiopia, they claim to be Jews. They're not racial Jews, they're religious Jews. And they have no right to be in Israel. They're black. Stay in Ethiopia. There's no such thing as a black Jew. And furthermore, with the curse of Canaan, of Genesis chapter 9, that all the descendants of Canaan, which would turn out to be the vast majority of the blacks, because they're going to intermarry in Africa, they're under a curse of subordination to the descendants of Japheth and the descendants of Shem. So when it's in the blood of subordination, how in the world could these people ever participate in ruling the world if they're under the curse of subordination? And that curse is not going to be lifted in the millennial kingdom. There's no such thing as a black Jew, and these crazy black savages in Chicago, we're the true Israelites. And you're crazy, man. You can't prove that. You're just causing trouble. While you're busy tearing up your cultures and destroying it. Yeah, a bunch of savage blacks just a couple days ago sacked a Rite Aid in Philadelphia. Destroyed the place in a black community. Yeah, congratulations, mamas. Having all your bastard children with no daddies around. That's right, you listen to Larry Elder. He'll tell you the reason why we have all this black savagery and black crime because dad's not around whipping their butts for their disobedience. Blacks do not produce high cultures. They're under a curse of subordination in Genesis chapter 9. The best thing they can do is live on their own in their own country or live around some white people going to be decent to them, which is their best existence they've ever had, around white Protestants and Baptist Calvinists. But the point being here, these Gentiles, Jesus Christ wasn't talking to them. I'll give you another example. In Matthew 15, Christ is approached by a Gentile woman for the healing of her daughter that's demon-possessed. We read in Matthew 15, verses 21 and follows. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Gentile Tyre and Sidon to have a rest. He didn't evangelize them. He didn't go there to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He went there for rest. And when this happens in verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, with a demon. But he answered her not a word. What? I thought Jesus Christ believed in universal equality like all the communists do, like it's been shoved down our throats every day in this country since the filthy civil rights movement, really, since the filthy FDR. In the beginning of the civil rights movement with the Jesuit John Lafarge in the 1930s. How about that? All we've ever been told is universal equality between whites and blacks. The only difference is the color of... Trash! There are differences in the races. The Lord Jesus Christ knew it. He instituted nations in Genesis chapter 10 by virtue of their race, their language, their culture, and geographic boundaries. And he didn't come for them at his first coming. During his earthly ministry, he wasn't ministering to the Gentiles. He didn't come for them. The Gentiles he ministered to were like the Roman centurion and others asking for a favor, but he didn't come for them. And he didn't come for this woman. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm sure she's heard it. I'm sent only to Israel. I'm only sent to the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites. That's the house, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And what does she do? Then came she and worshipped him. Oh, now she's worshipping him because you see she realized he's God manifest in the flesh. And the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't refuse worship. Because thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. And so he did not correct her for worshiping him. He received that worship. So she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered, now he's going to answer her, and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, to take the Hebrew, Jewish, Israelitish people's bread, that's me, myself, and cast it to dogs, cast it to you pet dogs. Gentiles are pet dogs in this dispensation of law. In the dispensation of the grace of God, we are on equal level with the racial Hebrew, Jewish, Israelites in Christ. Ephesians chapter 3. But at this time, under law, no, Gentiles were pet dogs. And there was Jewish supremacy and Gentile subordination. And what does she do? Well, I don't think so. I'm just as good as they are. Did she do that? Act like a typical white American feminist? Huh? No. What happens in verse 27? And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs, the pet dogs, eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Can you just give me a crumb? Can you give me just a crumb and heal my poor devil-possessed daughter? I know I'm entitled to nothing. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The Lord healed her daughter, but he didn't have to. He wasn't sent to these Gentiles. So he gave grace to her. And that's just like him. Accept the fact of who you are. Take your place. What the Word of God tells us that we are. Lost, undone, dying, go to hell. We're going to go to hell until the great white throne. Then we're going to be cast alive in the lake of fire after our judgment. And we have to accept our condemnation and our lostness. And we need to be saved. And hence, we believe the gospel by the grace of God. That Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again. We truly have a repentance and faith towards repentance towards God the Father and faith towards Christ. And when we agree with God about what he has to say, then he meets us on his terms and saves us by his grace. Same way with her. She agreed with him, so he gave her some grace. Now there are Gentiles that have embraced the Jews' religion in the first century. And they were looking for the promised Messiah. But they're still not of the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites. Now, I know the scripture says that the Lord says you just take them in and they can be part of your tribes and so on. But strictly speaking, they are not the racial seed. And so, and I know Rahab, you know, she was taken to wife by, what was it, Boaz. She wasn't of the racial seed. You got Rahab. You got Rahab in the time of the when they're busy conquering the land, and she's there at Jericho, and she becomes a great 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 grandmother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have Ruth of Moab, the Ruth of Moabitess. She's a Gentile. She becomes in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that racial difference is bred out in the 10th generation, and it doesn't really exist anymore. The Lord is about keeping the 12 tribes pure so that they can get the inheritance that's been promised to them in Ezekiel 48 and to promise to Abram, to Abraham. So we read here that there are such things as Gentiles that are Jews religiously, and they're called proselytes. Proselytes. Gentile converts. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 10. Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and the parts of Libya, and about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. They are racial, probably out of that area. They're probably, some of them are racially black. But they converted to the Jews' religion, and they were in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 2 here. So there are Gentiles that convert to the Jewish religion in the days of Acts. Another passage in the book of Acts. Now when the congregation, this is Acts chapter 13, verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes, religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So these proselytes are Gentiles that are believing the gospel. Continue in the grace of God. So there's always a distinction between Gentiles who adopt the Jews' religion and the Jews who have the Jews' religion. It's a racial distinction. Yes, race is important. And it's important that you preserve your own race. And if you're white, you need to preserve your own race. And if you're black, you need to preserve your own race. Of course, that's going to happen because you have all the power in Washington now. The white power structures making given black supremacy in this country, along with Hollywood, have imposed black supremacy for the destruction of us whites and Protestant Western civilization. And so that's why we white men need to step up and defend our race, our language, our culture, and not be ashamed of it. And when we do it and some bigot calls us racist, we just keep doing it. I've been doing it for 25 years. I'm not ashamed to be white. That's what God made me. I'm not ashamed that I would speak English. I try to speak English because that's what God taught me in school. All these choices were not mine. So I accept them and defend them as the sovereign choice of God in my life because of me being of the white race, speaking English, and an American. And it should be the same way with you. God instituted nations. He didn't institute all this miscegenation and race mixing. There's two ways you kill a Jew. You either kill him outright or you race mix him to death. And you miscegenate him, which will bring the judgment of God, because he doesn't want miscegenation. He doesn't want amalgamation, especially with his racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites. So concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a racial Jew of the racial tribe of Judah, from which we get the term Jew. Those of the tribe of Judah were called Jews, and then later the term spreads to all the Hebrew Israelites. He starts out as Jew. Matthew chapter 2. Where is he that's born King of the Jews? He's going to suffer as a Jew before Pontius Pilate. John 18. He's going to suffer as a Jew again in John 19 verses 1 through 3. Am I a Jew? No, don't you know I have the power to release you or to condemn you? In Christ says, you have no power given to you except it's given to you by God. He's being persecuted as a Jew by Pilate. He's being persecuted by his own Jewish leaders. He calls himself a king, King of the Jews. And when he's crucified, they go to Pilate and say, take that down there, King of the Jews. Say, he said he was King of the Jews. He's crucified, he's persecuted as a Jew. Crucified as a Jew. It's a very sacred term, Jew, because it's uniquely related to the Lord Jesus Christ, racially speaking. And I will say also one thing, that after his resurrection, there's no reference in the New Testament where he's called a Jew. He still is a Jew. He's a Hebrew. All Hebrews are Jews, but not all Jews are Hebrews. He's Son of God, Son of Man. Son of Man being a Hebrew designation of their Messiah. Son of Man doesn't have anything to do with the church. Son of Man has to do with Israel. Daniel chapter 7. One like the Son of Man came before the Ancient of Days. Son of Man is a messianic term. Paul was a Jew, the Apostle Paul, a Hebrew, and an Israelite. We read in Acts 22, verses 1 through 3. Men, brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue, doesn't say the Jew tongue, when he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus in the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of our fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. I'm a Jew. I was taught by Gamaliel, the greatest teacher of the day. Interesting that God would have the Apostle Paul write 14 epistles in the New Testament, from Romans to Hebrews. Yeah, he wrote Hebrews. But he's also a Hebrew, and he's also an Israelite, and he's also the tribe of Benjamin, as well as being a Jew. How do we know that? We'll go to Philippians here. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 and following. 4 through 6. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. That's his nation. It's a stock. It's a racial people. Of the tribe of Benjamin. So he identifies a tribe, one of the 12 tribes that Israel is noted for, and he was of the tribe of Benjamin. Like Saul, he was of the tribe of Benjamin. And Hebrew of the Hebrews. He's a Hebrew. He's an Israelite. He's the tribe of Benjamin. As touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I have all these things to boast. If I was going to boast about anything in the flesh, but I'm not, never going to boast about them. But this is what I am. This is my race. This is my language. This is my culture. He's speaking Hebrew in the book of Acts to the Jews. The Apostle Paul was a racial Jew, and thus a racial Hebrew, and thus a racial Israelite of the nation of Israel. All three. So don't tell me or anybody else that Jews are not Hebrews. There are Jews that are not Hebrews. They're Gentiles that adopted the Jewish religion. But the vast majority of Jews you see today are racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites. 80% of the Jews living in Israel today are racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites. And they keep track of their genealogy as best they can. So, let's just do away with this agitation, the fake Jews. You want to call somebody a fake Jew? Prove it. You want to say the Khazarian Mafia runs everything? Prove it. They can't. They don't have a candle to the Pope's Mafia. Where's the center city for this international conspiracy for world government? It's in Rome. There is no Tel Aviv orchestrating a world conspiracy. There is no Jerusalem orchestrating a world conspiracy. Jerusalem's trodden down by the Gentiles till the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, according to Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 21. Let's read that. Luke chapter 21, verse 24. And they, the racial Hebrew, Jewish, Israelitish people of the nation of Israel, shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And we are still in the times of the Gentiles, even though Jerusalem was taken by the government of Israel in 1967, and the Temple Mount was given to Israel. Yeah, within 48 hours, it was all given back to the Muslims. That's right. Because the Pope told them so. They can't take Jerusalem for themselves. It's got to be an international city run by the Pope. Jerusalem will never be exclusively a Jewish city. That's part of the agitation that the papacy continues with. So, Jerusalem's trodden down to the Gentiles, folks. Right now. Gentiles rule Jerusalem. And the ones that are the little custodians for the papal Gentiles are the Masonic Jewish Labor Zionists or the Likud or whatever they are. But they're all there working for the Pope. And if they get out of order, they get whacked. Just like Rabin. He got out of order, so they shot him with Shin Bet. And their little assassin there. Just like they shot Kennedy with the CIA and the Mafia working together. I mean, you get out of order, we're going to kill you, boy. We put you in political power. You want to get out of order, we'll kill you, we'll remove you. That's how the Pope maintains his world empire, orchestrated by the Jesuits and their host of assassins that they have around the world. That movie, what was it? That three-part movie with Matt Damon, where they have assassins, sleeper assassins everywhere. They get a little phone call, and here's who you're going to kill. Here's his picture. Yeah, The Bourne Identity, those three movies. That's real. That's real. The intelligence community controls the politics of every country, and anybody that's outside their purview or wants what's supposed to happen, they just gradually move them out, or if they have to, they'll kill them. Or disgrace them out of office like they did to Nixon. Disgraced him out of his office. Of course, he was the party to the Kennedy assassination cover-up. So they were a little nicer to one of their in-crowd. Jerusalem is trodden down to the Gentiles, so the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The Jews run nothing. There are politically powerful Jews, but they're only powerful because some Gentile has made them powerful or enabled them to be powerful. There are Jews that are wealthy only because some Gentiles, white Gentiles generally working for the Pope, enabled them to be wealthy. The Jews are not a power unto themselves at all, ever. They're down. They're in diaspora. They're persecuted in every generation. And the big persecution is coming here in this country, probably within the next 10 years. We'll see what AIPAC does for that. AIPAC's creating anti-Jewish fury in this country. That's what it's doing. Remember, Barry Chambers told me one time, he says, the ADL was created to create anti-Jewish fury with Abraham Foxman, that Knight of Malta, and secret Roman Catholic. That's what Barry told me. And Barry's authored 10 or so books. You got to get them. Save Israel and a few others. So, Jerusalem's trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now there's a lot of talk on the fake Jews. They say they're Jews and they're not. Well, you can't understand that unless you understand John chapter 8. John chapter 8, when Christ is speaking to these Jewish leaders, he says in John chapter 8, verse 37, he says to them, I know that ye are Abraham's seed. The Lord Jesus Christ said to those Jewish Pharisaical scribal leaders and rulers, I know that you're Abraham's seed. I know that you're the physical descendants of Abraham racially. But he goes on to tell them that you're not spiritual Jews. You don't have a circumcised heart, as promised in the Old Testament, when the Lord was circumcised the nation's heart one day. John 8:44, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You're not spiritual Jews. You don't have circumcised hearts. You're not saved. And therefore, your spiritual father is the devil, because the spiritual father of every unsaved man is the devil. If you're not saved today, my friend, your spiritual father is the devil, and the lusts of your spiritual father you will do, and you're busy serving the devil in whatever you're doing. So these Jews were busy serving the devil because their father was the devil, their spiritual father was the devil, but they were physically the sons of Abraham. And that's what we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was saying in Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation 2:9 we read, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, speaking to one of the seven churches at Smyrna, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Now, do these Jews have a synagogue out that says, to Satan, with a pentagram out there? These Jews actually are called it the synagogue of Satan? No, it's because their spiritual father's the devil. They say they are Jews. Well, they're racial Jews, but they're not real Jews because they don't have a circumcised heart. Christ is going to say the same thing in Revelation 3:9. Revelation 3:9, we read, Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which they say are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. And there's probably these people here are going to be at the great white throne judgment, and these condemned Jews are going to do that before they're cast in the lake of fire. Because I believe the church, the body of Christ, is going to participate in the great white throne judgment. We all will be seated there as members of the body of Christ, all millions of us, and we will be executing judgment on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne. And I say this is what's happening there. But notice here, they're the synagogue of Satan. We say they are Jews and they're not. They're not circumcised heart Jews. The principle we see in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. This is written to the church, the body of Christ. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the flesh, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. If you are saved, you are a spiritual Jew. You have a circumcised heart. And these Jews in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 were not circumcised in heart. Therefore, they do lie, and they're not true Jews. They're not spiritual Jews. They're physical Jews, but they're not spiritual Jews. They're racial Jews, but they're not spiritual Jews. And that's what he means. It doesn't mean that everybody calling themselves a Jew, they're not Jews, they're fake Jews, and they're lies. That's not what that means. They are racial Jews. Christ said, I know that you're the seed of Abraham, but I'm going to go on a little bit farther and say, I'm going to tell you you're of your father, the devil, your spiritual father of the devil. And it's not just Jews, it's also Gentiles. If Gentiles are not saved, they're spiritual fathers of the devil too. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That's a continuous action verb there. In other words, people that are constantly sinning. He that continually is sinning is of the devil. If you're not saved, my friend, you're continuously sinning. Everything you do is sin. Anything not of faith is sin. You're busy serving your spiritual father, the devil, my Gentile friend and my Jewish friend. And until you're saved and you get a circumcised heart, you're going to continue to serve the devil, and you're going to go where the devil's going, which is the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. My prayer is that you won't. My prayer is that you'll be saved. My prayer is that you'll believe the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son by the power of the Spirit of God, Colossians chapter 1. So where are we? The nation of Israel has been revived, as Ezekiel 38:8 said they would be. Israel is in a condition of unbelief, as Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 says they would be. They're not saved. The leaders, according to Isaiah 28, are men that are called, they're reckless men. Isaiah chapter 28, scornful men ruling Jerusalem. So Israel is in a condition of unbelief, and Israel, the nation of Israel, will never be converted to the Lord Jesus Christ until after the second coming, about the time of the second coming. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And they shall look upon me, the Lord, Jehovah, whom they have pierced, when the Spirit of God is poured out on them, on the nation at that time. If that's the case, there has to be a nation of Israel for the Spirit of God to be poured out upon the Jews living in Israel. I used to get in a little argument with Barry Chambers. Israel is going to be destroyed. I said, Israel can never be destroyed. It's regathered back from the nations. Once, it will go through the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 70, verses 7. The time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to go through the tribulation, the great one, according to Christ in Matthew 24, 15. If it hadn't been cut short to 42 months, no flesh would be saved. The whole place would be destroyed here. It's all future. Biblical, Bible-based, Jesus Christ futurism. Thank God for it in our literal reading of the prophecies. And anybody tells you futurism is of the devil and you're going to be in praetorism, he's a good little Jesuit, because the Jesuits are the masters of praetorism. As well as post-millennialism. That's another heresy. It's only 400 years old. Early church knew nothing about it. Early church was premillennial, futurist. Not Jesuitical futurist and taking your eyes off the papacy. Biblically futurist. That the final Pope of Rome will be the man of sin, the son of perdition. The seventh Roman Caesar killed with a sword, raised from the dead to be the Antichrist for 42 months. That's biblical, Bible-based, literal reading prophecy, and hence biblical futurism. And Jesus Christ was a futurist too. You denounce futurism, you denounce Jesus Christ. He's coming back. That's future. He's going to have a second coming. That's future. He's going to restore the kingdom to Israel. That's future. He even promises that to his disciples in Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, his disciples, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, that's the regeneration of the earth after the horrible, terrible seal, trumpet, and bowl judgments of Revelation. Everything's dead. Everything in the ocean's died. The trees have been burned up. All the grass has been burned up. It's terrible. When Jesus Christ comes and he regenerates the earth, when he recreates it after his second coming, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, that's the throne of David, as promised that he would be sitting on that, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, Luke chapter 1, sitting on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, these disciples are going to be resurrected, going to have glorified bodies, and Judas is not going to be there because Matthias has taken his place in Acts chapter 1, not the Apostle Paul. And they're going to be judging what? The 12 tribes of Israel. If that's the case, the 12 tribes of Israel have to be in existence today, right now, to go through the time of Jacob's trouble, which is yet future, to then inherit the millennial kingdom as promised, and the division of the land taking place pursuant to Ezekiel 48. You read Ezekiel 48, you have all the different tribes, and all 12 tribes, actually 12 tribes, and you got the, well, 13 tribes, and you got the tribe of Levi with no land promise, but you got all the 12 tribes having the land divided up for them finally into the millennial kingdom. And the land promise given to Abraham is finally fulfilled, because it's never been fulfilled. The Jews have never occupied the land promised to them in Genesis 15, in Genesis 17. But under the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has as much of right to the land promise as any other racial Hebrew, Jewish, Israelite, he is going to enforce that land promise in the millennial kingdom. Read it, Ezekiel 48. So, in conclusion, one more thing to show you that the Jews will be In the great tribulation, we read Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, we read, saying, verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000. Of all the tribes of the children of Israel. That's not the Jehovah Witnesses. That shows how they wrest the scriptures to their own destruction, unsaved people that they are, denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and blood redemption and a host of other biblical doctrines they deny. They are not Christian people. It's a cult started by a high-level Freemason These are the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And now they name them. Verse 5, of the tribe of Judah, sealed 12,000. The tribe of Reuben, sealed 12,000. Tribe of Gad, sealed 12,000. Tribe of Asher, sealed 12,000. Tribe of Naphtali, sealed 12,000. Tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Tribe of Levi, 12,000. Tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Tribe of Joseph were sealed, 12,000. Tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. So we have all 12 tribes being sealed, 12,000 young men of each tribe, because they're virgins and they're not defiled with women, the Bible tells us. So they're young Jewish men, young Hebrew men that have this seal written on their forehead that they can't be harmed by any of the plagues because they're sent out to preach the gospel of the kingdom throughout the whole earth. What are they? They're racial Jews. Now, they're all going to be killed by the Antichrist, we read in Revelation 14. But they're racial Jews, and ultimately, the racial Hebrew-Jewish people will then be rescued and saved upon their national repentance by their Messiah to then be given the kingdom and the 12 disciples, 12 apostles sitting on 12 thrones to judge the 12 tribes for the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, and sitting on the throne of David. So in conclusion, don't believe these liars when they start talking about fake Jews. Don't believe these liars when they start talking about the Khazarian mafia. That shows how stupid they are. Unread in true history. And definitely denying the scriptures. And the Bible is clear. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. They're teaching you these kinds of things and not going, thus saith the Lord, and giving you a passage of scripture. They're liars. And don't listen to them. And they're of their father, the devil, who was a liar from the beginning. So in conclusion, the Lord will continue to save his elect during this dispensation of the grace of God. When that's complete, then the Lord will appear for us to take us out of this world, take our bodies out of this world, first the dead in Christ, and then we are the which are alive. And then shortly after that, Satan will be allowed to bring his final Pope of Rome to power to sign the seven-year agreement with many nations of Daniel 9:27. In about the midst of that, he's going to be slain with a sword, Revelation 13:8. The Lord's going to bring him back to life again. He'll be the beast, the Antichrist, to rule the world for 42 months, called the Great Tribulation. And we, the church, the body of Christ, will not spend one day in the 70th week of Daniel or the last half of it called the Great Tribulation. We're not going to be there. We're going to be with Christ. Because we haven't been ordained to wrath, but to inherit salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. In conclusion, hold to the Word of God. Spend some time reading it every day. Listen to preachers you can trust that are going to hold to it. And may the Lord bless you as you read His Word, the AV 1611, in its present edition of 1769 for English-speaking peoples. Until our next broadcast, may the Lord bless you on this Lord's Day of March the 2nd, 2025. Maranatha.